This is class number 9 of Who is Jesus? We actually only have 2 classes to go this week and next week, and we'll be done. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know what you're all thinking. Where's my movie? You're addicted. Well, today we're going to talk about the cross, and I couldn't find any good movie on that. Oh, you don't believe that. We will show the movie at the end of class. How's that? You know, we've heard many sermons about the cross, and we've heard many, many communion services about the cross. And so I really didn't think I could come up with anything new about the cross for us as disciples. And so I thought I would talk a few minutes about how the cross is viewed by people in the world and talk about that. And Paul talks about that here in 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 18. He says, "For to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is God's power. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." Now he says here, the cross is foolishness. He says, especially to the Greeks. The Greeks, it's foolishness. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. They seek signs, and it was a stumbling block. It wasn't the sign they were looking for in the Messiah. But for the Greeks, it was just foolishness. It made no sense to them. And they sought wisdom. I love history. I just said a bad word. I know some people in here don't like history, and history reminds you of a course you took in high school that you didn't like. But indulge me for a minute. The Greeks in Paul's day, their society was very much based on human wisdom. They invented philosophy. That's a Greek word, philosophy. They invented history. That's actually derived from a Greek word. They invented a lot of things that, you know, maybe you didn't like in high school, like geometry and physics and all kinds of things. They invented all that stuff. They were very focused on human wisdom. They invented a lot of our politics. Democracy is a Greek word. They invented a lot of things. They even invented spectator sports. Right? The Olympics are about to start in China, right? Well, the Greeks, that comes from the Greeks. And unlike many civilizations, if you study, their civilization wasn't based on their religion. That wasn't the center of their civilization. They had a religion, but everyone sort of knew it was kind of silly. It wasn't the center of what they were about. I mean, if you study Islamic civilization, obviously the religion is the center of what it's about. If you study Hindu civilization, the religion is the center of what it's about. If you study Greek civilization, religion is not the center of what it's about. As Paul says here, the center of what they were about was wisdom, human knowledge. In fact, if you look in Luke wrote it. If you look in Acts, where Paul visits Athens in Greece, it says all they do there is talk about the latest ideas. It's in Acts, I think, 17. That's what they were into. They were trying to explain the world without a supernatural explanation. That's what they were trying to do. And I think in that sense, they are very much like our society today. They are very much like the American society or Western civilization today. Our society wants to explain the world without reference to God. And we've been doing that, you know, 200 or 300 years now. We've sort of been moving away from explaining the world and our lives through God and the Bible, and instead trying to explain it through human wisdom, through science. And I'm not opposed to science, but I'm just saying that's what our society wants to do. Just this week, my U.S. News and World Report came, and it's talking about science. And one of the articles in here was, "How did life get started on Earth?" Okay, and they're you know, trying to figure that out. You know, they've done all kinds of experiments to try to figure out how life began. They can't figure it out. And they say it's one of life's biggest mysteries, how life actually arose. While creationists, I guess that means us, attribute the spark of life to the hand of God, scientists are convinced there's a natural explanation. A prediction by a scientist, and this was a little, they put it in a little box here as a quote. "We're going to find out, one way or another, that biology is not a miracle." Okay? Life is not a miracle. They're going to figure it out. And you know, that's how a lot of the world thinks. You know, they're going to figure out that, you know, lightning struck here. Or actually, I read on the internet the latest theory is diamonds. And this is serious science. That they think diamonds, which can conduct electricity, and sometimes and somehow naturally certain natural diamonds form liquid on the surface, and that somehow the electricity and the liquid on the surface and the amino acids, and suddenly there was life. I mean, that's the latest scientific theory. I don't know. I mean, it could all be true, but all they're describing is the physical process. You know, that's all they're, you know, even evolution. Let's assume evolution is true. It could be, you know, that species evolved from simpler to more complex, blah, 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 and eventually you had man. Well, that's just the physical process. You know, in Genesis 2, where it says God formed man out of the dust of the earth, it doesn't say how long it took him or exactly how he did it. But science can't tell me we've proven there's no God behind it all. Science can't do that. But that's how our society thinks. People in our society think that. They think that, you know, the unspoken message in some of the stuff I just read is that anyone with a brain doesn't really believe the Bible anymore. Or if we do believe it, it's just a myth, it's a nice story, it's sort of inspirational, but it's fiction. And that's kind of the story of our society, and that's very similar to how the Greeks thought. When Paul went to Athens, he didn't get a good reception. They were like, "Who is this babbler?" You know, they just didn't understand. And I think that's something we need to recognize, that for most people in our society, the cross is foolishness. It doesn't really make any sense to them. Now, obviously, a lot of people in our society are raised Christian. They go to church. And so they've heard about the cross. But if it's never become a deep conviction in their life, it doesn't really make sense to them. You know, it doesn't. It's different than the way we usually think in our society. You know, when you read the news and you read the newspapers and the magazines, you don't think that way. Why would God do that? This doesn't make any sense to people until they have faith, until they realize their need. You know, I think that's why, you know, when Mel Gibson made the movie, The Passion, why people reacted to it. So it's like, why did he have to make it so bloody? Why couldn't he tone it down a little? You know, because it didn't make sense to people. It was like foolishness to them. And that's what Paul says here. Verse 21, second half of verse 21. "God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached." God was pleased to save people who believe this message, who believe the cross, like us. You know, I we tried to do some scholarship in this class a little bit, you know, stretch our brains a little bit. But really, the bottom line is, you don't need all that to be a Christian. I mean, that might help us understand the Bible a little better, go a little deeper. But really, all we have to do is believe the message of the cross and base our life on that. And that's, you know, it's really very simple. You know, Paul is saying here, you know, he's going to destroy the wisdom of the wise, set aside the understanding of the experts. Where's the philosopher? Where's the scholar? He's saying, you don't need this stuff. In fact, God is making these people out to be foolish because they rely on human wisdom. And he's saying at the end, all you need is the message of the cross. It's a simple message that we can understand, even if we, you know, aren't a rocket scientist. You know, whatever our intellectual capabilities, we can understand this message. And so can anybody else. I mean, an illiterate person can become a disciple. Many have throughout the centuries. There have been many, probably more illiterate disciples of Jesus than literate. I mean, it's possible. It doesn't matter. All that matters is this is the message and that it's true and that we believe it. Now, I do have a deep theological question this morning, which is, how many people here have ever done the hokey pokey? Oh, big number. Okay, how many people in here have never done the hokey pokey? What is the hokey pokey, Richard asks. Okay. That settles it. Everybody needs to stand up. Okay. Stand up. Now we're not going to do all six or seven verses. We're just going to do one or two as a public service to the people here who have never done the hokey pokey, okay? Now, when we get to the punchline, okay, the last line of the verse, you have to be very loud. So that's the loud verse. And I want the people who are listening to this at home to also stand up and do the hokey pokey with us, but they need to hear you say that last line, okay? Y'all ready? You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about.
That's what it's all about!
Yay! Okay, y'all can sit down. Okay, you're wondering why I did that. I have two reasons. The first reason is if we're about to see the Passion of the Christ, we need some comic relief first. Because it's perhaps the most intense movie ever made. But the other reason I did that is I saw a bumper sticker recently. Okay, and it might have been here at church. I can't remember. I saw a bumper sticker and it said, "What if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about?" That's what it said, okay? And you know, and I thought, boy, that's you want to say deep, but actually that's shallow. You know, that's shallow. And I, you know, but I think a lot of times that's what the world thinks too. You know, I mean, if you really carry this stuff out to its logical conclusion, there's no God. All of this is just an accident. And the hokey pokey is about as good as it gets. You know? I mean, just have fun, like a beer commercial. You know, it's all about the beer. I mean, just eat, drink, and be merry. That's the way the world thinks. The Apostle Paul begs to differ. Turn to chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what it's all about. You know, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not about wisdom. It's not about being smart. It's not about talent or, you know, that the world glorifies in or wealth or whatever else. What it's all about is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he says at the end of verse 5, so that your faith may not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And back where we began in verse 18, it says, for us who are being saved, the message of Christ is God's power. You know, Jesus and Him crucified is a powerful message.
That's right.
As Richard was talking about today, that's what changed our lives. That's why we became disciples, because Jesus on the cross died for our sins and offered us forgiveness and mercy and hope and heaven. I mean, that's what it's all about. Sharing that with our friends, like Richard was talking about, with people or strangers, with our children. You know, science is great. Science isn't bad, but it can't tell you what to teach your kids. You know, Charles Darwin can't tell you what to teach your kids, you know. But we know, you know, Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
So what we're going to do now with the rest of the time we have is watch a few scenes from the Passion to remind us of what we believe. That Jesus and Him crucified. And to remember that that's where the power comes from. That's the power we have, is Jesus and Him crucified. If we could get the lights.